The Gospel reading from Mark. As he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him,
"Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down."
When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them,
"Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs."
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In the year of our Lord, 410, the Visigoths sacked the city of Rome, shocking the Roman Empire and sending Roman citizens and slaves alike into a time of great bewilderment and terror. It was in response to the shock of it all that Saint Augustine took up his pen and wrote his great magna opus, The City of God, in which he said that the city of man must never be confused with the city of God, and that the city of heaven goes on even when the cities of this earth all fall into the sea. That's the Cliff Notes version, anyhow. The actual book is about 1,100 pages in the Penguin Classics edition, so what I've given you is a pretty short summary. Preacher's Digest. There are the great cities and nations and civilizations of this earth. But then there is the city of God. And the city of God remains even after all of the cities and nations and civilizations rise and fall. After Constantine's conversion, it was the error of Roman Christianity to equate a human empire with the kingdom of God. And that is, frankly, the same error of Christian nationalists today. But no empire and no nation can ever be equated with the kingdom of God. So we put not our faith in the strength and eternality of the nation state, rather we put our faith in the strength and the eternality of God alone. And we pledge our ultimate allegiance to the universality of the heavens alone. Therefore, when the cities of humanity rise for good, we are neither too sanguine nor too assured. I've said now for the third Sunday in a row, I'm no optimist. And when they fall for ill, we are not too disappointed or afraid or dismayed. Fear and dismay must have been on the faces of the disciples when they were told by Jesus that all of the stones that they were staring at in the temple at Jerusalem were one day going to be everyone toppled. They had come out of the sticks and were in the big city, marveling at the temple's great size, construction, and magnitude. They must have been like me the first time I set foot in Manhattan, a Lubbock boy, seeing the great size of all of those skyscrapers in the spring of 2001. What shock there would have been had someone told me that the two greatest of all of the skyscrapers would be left one upon another, felled by that very September. And what shock there was when it happened. Do you see all of these stones? Not one will be left upon another. All will be thrown down. Biblical scholars debate whether the Roman army had already destroyed Jerusalem by the time Mark wrote his gospel, or if simply the signs of its downfall were obvious and unavoidable. In either case, when it happened, the fall of Jerusalem was a devastation to all of the Jewish people, including the Christian community. There was shock and awe and a great fear about what it was that was going to come next. The people were in terror. And for the Roman emperor and his army, the terror was the point. There were mass deportations. Families separated. Non-citizens were imprisoned and then enslaved. It was indeed an utter devastation. But then the disciple of Jesus remembered his Lord's words, his truly prophetic and also pastoral words. This is not the end. This is not the end. Yes, the stones will topple, the city will fall, the people will reel, there will be wars and rumors of wars, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. The city of David will be devastated. But you be not afraid, for this is not the end. And even amidst all of the death and devastation, there shall be born the hope and possibility of a new and better nation. So you hold on to your hope. There is a simple yet profound spiritual teaching in all of this, I think. It is the same teaching that we have learned all of our lives, being reminded again and again all of throughout life's heartaches and devastations. It's the same teaching many of us received from our mothers first and our grandmothers, when they would say to us, even as the littlest of children, it's not the end of the world. Tell that child that. And it never was. It is also the lesson, the deeply, deeply affecting teaching many of us received from John Claypool, who was pastor here in the 1970s and was also my pastor in Lubbock when I was a boy. John had lost his daughter, Laura Lou, at 10 years of age to leukemia. Obviously, this profoundly impacted his life and ministry, and thus his pastoring of us all. The worst thing is never the last thing, he used to say. The worst thing is never the last thing. And if it is the worst thing, then it is not the last thing. Jerusalem will fall. The cities of man and woman will be destroyed, but it is not the end. It is not the end of the world. That was the faith of our fathers, and the faith of our mothers, and the faith of our grandmothers and grandfathers, and come hell or high water, it is the faith of the Church of Jesus Christ throughout every age, including this age right now. We've been asking you to pledge your commitments to this church in the last few weeks. If you missed last Sunday's Pledge Sunday, don't worry. We will still gladly receive your pledge for the 2025-2026 budget. I have to say somewhat bashfully, well, we have a great building and great stones, but we do remember that a church is never just a building. It is a mission, and it is a people on a mission. So we recall the title of the sermon on the day of dedication of this great building in 1952, a sermon titled Living Stones. The living stones are the people upon which the church is built. And even if every stone of the physical building is toppled one on top of another, there is still the living stones, which go on in spite of all things, building and building and building and witnessing to the eternality of God in Christ. God endures. And the faith of the people in God endures. Even when the temple falls, our faith endures. These are difficult days we are living in. You may know the expression, may you live in interesting times. Well, we are living in interesting times. Indeed, we are living not only in interesting times, but even in tumultuous times. In tumultuous and turbulent times, Jesus says, that's the moment we have to watch out. Many leaders, he said, and misleaders and false messiahs come along demanding fealty and promising deliverance. Many will come in my name, he says, saying, I am he. But you are not going to be led astray. Test the spirits. Resist false messiahs. Do not be deceived by wolves in sheep's clothing. Do not be led astray about who it is that is truly your Lord and your Savior. As those who signed the Barman Declaration in Germany in the 1930s said, there is only one word of God, which we have to hear and which we have to trust and obey in life and in death. And to that word belongs our ultimate allegiance. And upon that word and that word alone, we stake our faith and we build our church. And as the plaque on the cornerstone of this building says so clearly and so plainly, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So when the stones are toppled upon the stones, the foundation of our faith remains. And when nations and generations and institutions rise and fall, the foundation remains firm for us all. As Harry Emerson Fosdick said, the highest use of a shaken time is to discover the unshakable. Earthquakes shake and shatter feeble abodes, but that which is built on a firm foundation does not falter, nor does it fall. It endures. Faith and hope and love, they endure. And God endures. God endures. And as the psalmist says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, and though its waters roar and foam, and though the mountains tremble with its tumult. For there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. And God is in the midst of that city, and it shall not be moved. The worst thing is never the last thing. And so no matter how tumultuous or devastating life may be for you today or for all of us tomorrow, hear me say this gospel good news. It is not the end. For we know the end, don't we? We know the end. As people of faith, we know the end. And the end is good. For the end, for us all, is in God. Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, the end is good because it is in God, and God is good. And the river ends, but not in the city of man, in the city of God. And the city of God shall not be shaken. The city of God shall never be shaken. And neither shall it be moved. And our faith in that city shall never be moved either. For it is from everlasting to everlasting, our beginning and also our end. So when we see those great big stones falling all around us, whatever they may be, may we be not afraid, and neither may we be dismayed. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all, and together all of God's faithful people say, amen and amen. There is a window pane right here at the front. It's a picture of two houses. One is falling in. It's the house built on sand. The other standing firm because it's built on a firm foundation. When the earthquakes come, and when life's tumults hit us, when everything around us is very, very uncertain, we know that it is not the end, because our faith has been built on a truly firm foundation. The invitation comes for us today just to be reminded, whatever it is that we are going through, it's not yet the end of the world. And even if it were, so what? Be not afraid, beloved. God is on our side. Amen.